All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Healing Fucking Sucks Podcast. My name is Randy, and I am your guest host for today. And actually, I'm with Jackie, who is the creator, founder, and the primary host of Healing Fucking Sucks Podcast. Jackie, what's up, my friend?
What's up, Randy? So glad to have you back. And interviewing How are me you? This time.
Yeah, no, this is interesting being on the other side of this, you know, and being able to actually, you know, interview you and have a conversation with you. Usually, you know, on this side or on the other side, when you're being asked questions, you know, you kind of wonder what's coming up and whatnot. But now I'm kind of in the control seat here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're such a good coach. I just figured you would be like the best person in the world to do this. I had other people that could have done it. It would have just been boring. So I was like, I'm just going to wait till Randy has time.
We'll always shake shit up, right? Make things a little bit more interesting. Jackie.
Yep. Fling shit. Shake shit. We got the shit shakers over here.
This is the end of season one for you. Episode 13. Now, I heard from a birdie that 13 is your lucky number.
Yeah, it is. I was born on the 13th. My parents were 13 years apart. The number 13 just follows me. It's actually kind of creepy. It's either 13 or 113, but like the last four addresses I've had, like my apartment number was 113, or my street, like the street number is 113, or the zip code. It's gotten to the point to where my mom's like, okay, you have to stop doing this because it's freaking me out. And I'm like, I don't do anything. The number just follows me everywhere. I mean, you're the one that birthed me on the 13th, so I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, how crazy it is. You're finishing up episode or season one, episode 13. What made you start a podcast? What made you decide, yeah, you know what? We all know, obviously, healing fucking sucks, but what made you decide to speak it out? When did you know it was time to kind of, you know, speak up and start this journey?
Well, it was a lot of factors, actually. But the main one that was just like, okay, this is now happening, was the devil, Satan himself, that I dated, the narcissist. When that blew up, I was in a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual state of lowness that I had never been in before. I've picked myself up many, 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 many times in life, but I knew that picking myself up this time was going to be different. It was going to be life-changing. And I wanted to share that journey with people. I see people struggling everywhere. I am a teacher. And I see my students struggling with mental health, or, you know, they will talk about openly about bad relationships that they're in. And I'm like, we need better education on this stuff. And what better way than for me to share my journey, like in real time? If you go back and look at the videos, some of them, you're like, holy crap, this girl's like going through it. Because I was. It has really helped a lot of people, you know, and what better way to like help my community and those around me than to provide them with not just coaching, but like I've had real doctors on my show, a lot of them. And so it's just free education across all boards, you know, for any type of abuse and trauma. I mean, specifically, you know, I've kind of stumbled around my mental health issues with depression and anxiety and panic disorder and all of this stuff, which was really heightened by the narcissist that I dated. It just like a slingshot flew out the window, was on another level planet that I'd never been on before. So for me to have to basically start all back again at ground zero, I was like, here we go. Let's follow this journey. I woke up one morning and I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. This was not very far-fetched for the people that actually know me, because I've been in the film and entertainment industry for most of my life. And I'd kind of been looking for an outlet because I'd pulled myself away from the entertainment industry for the last, I want to say, 4 or 5 years. Not that I haven't dabbled in it. I've like done some like stand-in stuff or like Lifetime and movies and stuff like that. Nothing major. But as far as like actually in delving myself into a character and getting on screen and acting and doing all of that. I was born with that creative side of me and I didn't have that outlet. And I felt like it was just God talking, like, you know, this podcast would be a perfect outlet for you. You're going to learn, your listeners are going to learn, and whoever else, you know, comes along and joins the journey, they're going to learn. So it can't be a bad thing to start it. So I started it within a week of thinking of the idea.
No, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, other things are coming up. You know, once you see it, once you go through narcissistic abuse, you never unsee it. It's like all of a sudden you're aware of all of the trauma you've been through. And you're like, okay, this is it. It's time to heal. So what was that like for you? And what were some of the things that helped you? Some of the things that were inspired you to say it's time to really heal?
I wouldn't say that I was inspired, like, at all. I was very much so not wanting to believe that what was happening was happening, because if I go back and look at my dating life, this last person that I dated is the third narcissist that I've dated. So he's actually like a carbon copy print of the second one that I dated, just on steroids. And so I saw the things that were happening, but this was also during COVID. I had just gotten out of a 4.5-year relationship. That guy, he was in the film industry. He wasn't a narcissist, but he definitely had a lot of issues, control issues for one. And he was cheating on me with a married woman along with multiple other people that I found out about. And it was, I kind of knew that it was going on. I just didn't have proof. And then it was like 3:00 in the morning. One day I get this message on Facebook Messenger and it's like pictures of her car at his hotel. And I'm like, I've been down this road so many times that I know that for someone to reach out to me at that time of day with that kind of information, that it wasn't fake. And so that was crushing. That was hard. Not nearly as hard as the narcissist, but when the narcissist entered into my life a couple of months after that, he was someone of comfort for me because he was someone that I had met through my church people. He was a youth pastor. He was really someone that I was like, okay, I can talk to this person about God, like build my relationship with God back, build myself back through this. And boy, did none of that happen, like, at all. Like, none of it happened.
You're trying to find God, and you got into Satan himself.
Yeah, I did meet Satan face to face. I'm not going to lie. It quickly turned into I couldn't even pray over my food. I couldn't put on my favorite minister or like uplifting sermons that I like to listen to when I was cleaning the house or getting ready for the day or whatever. But so to answer, I woke up one morning. And I call it the point of no return. It's kind of like you waking up in prison and you're on death row and you have like a day before you're about to be fucking euthanized and you have a choice to make. Like, that's what it felt like to me. It was that serious. And I said, fuck, I'm in trouble. I need help.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. You have a lot of faith in God and all these things. How has he played a role in this? I mean, you talk about waking up in hell and having this, you know, the final hour, so to speak. How did all that play out with God, and what role did he play in that?
You know, God has always been so faithful to me. Either if I was not doing like what I should have been doing. Sorry, this makes me emotional. I knew I shouldn't have been dating the narcissist. And, you know, I kind of sort of did that to myself. Like, I knew better. Okay, hold on. Anyways, pull it together, Jackie. But God was still there the whole time. You know, he still held my hand through it the whole time. And he was just basically like, I'm here when you're ready, you know? And so when I was ready, God was there, and he's been the whole time.
Yeah. No, God is always with us no matter what. And the beautiful thing is, you know, not only is he always with us, but when we're really ready for him and we're really ready to submit to his will, I mean, beautiful things, you know, unfold for us, Jackie, as you know. So what are some of the steps that you've taken to heal, and how has he guided that for you?
All of a sudden, my feed on social media was just slammed with narcissistic abuse education. Okay, yeah. So the education, number one, was like, there. Like, I already knew it, but God knows me now. He knows that if I don't, like, I'm somebody that likes to see it. I'm good with my faith. There's a lot of things that I do lean on that I can't see. You know, that's how we have to follow with God, is through faith. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, I think God really knew that, like, I had to see it. I had to see it. And once I saw it, like you said, you can't unsee it. And so I did the education. I spoke to a lot of counselors, a lot of psychiatrists. My podcast, honestly, has helped me so much with having, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists on my show that have been taken over by narcissists themselves. Like, they know this stuff, and they still were taken over by a narcissist. That's just, I literally call them the devil, because that's how the devil works. He just sneaks in there, and then you don't see it happening.
The devil's like, lie, cheat, steal, destroy. A narcissist lies, cheats, steals, destroys.
Yes. And it's just so evil the way that they maneuver and manipulate themselves in, and before you know it, like, your brain is just overtaken by this person, you know. So
you're talking about you've done a lot of education, obviously the research, all the videos, gaining that knowledge, which absolutely is essential at the very first. Like, it's very important to understand what you've been through. What is the terminology? What is the definitions? And more importantly, you're able to connect that to how it made you feel. Then you talked about the second piece, which is starting the podcast and starting to, you know, collaborate and gain knowledge and share knowledge with other educators and people that really understand this. But so, and what's the next step? What's some other things that you've done, you know, to continue that healing journey?
I've done some journaling. I've done a lot of inner work and spiritual work. Obviously, you know, we've talked about how big of a part God is in my life, plays a big part in my life. And, you know, I can pray all day long that God, like, comes and takes, like, all of this pain and everything away from me. But, like, most of the time, it's not going to happen. We have to do our part as well. And so that part was the education. That part was, I have a couple of journals. I have a narc-free journal that I worked through. I have an inner healing workbook that I worked through, where you just, like, kind of go through. And it obviously, like, people that date narcissists have a much deeper lining issue that they haven't healed, either it's typically childhood trauma is what it stems back to, because I mean, otherwise why would you be okay with being with someone that, you know, acts this way? So
yeah, I think it all stems to childhood trauma, and it's typically somewhere around either emotional neglect or emotional abuse. Emotional neglect or emotional abuse or an abandonment would be the three primary themes. And I find it interesting, because it's typically, it's not so much that, you know, the people with those issues from childhood trauma are the only ones that date narcissists, but we tend to be the ones that overstay with the narcissist trying to fight for worth and validation and these kind of things. And yeah, the cliff note, as we know, you know, from doing so many X amount of years of recovery and therapy and all of these things, that it all stems from the childhood trauma. So guys, in the audience, if they just do the childhood trauma work.
Yeah, if you don't heal where the trauma started, you're never going to get to where you want to go, because it's like, it would be like trying to treat an open wound, like treating like half of the wound. Like there's still another half that's like wide open and it's bleeding and it's not going to heal. You have to go all the way back there. And for some people, it can be a lot of work. I know I blacked a lot of my childhood out. I told my mom not long ago, said, it really scares me how much of your childhood that you blacked out. And it wasn't that nothing good happened in my childhood, because I did have good stuff that happened in my childhood. I did gymnastics for like 8-9 years competitively. I was very devoted to that. I loved gymnastics. You know, me and my mom had a really good relationship up until probably until my brother left to go into the military. And then there was just a whole lot of stuff going on in there and a whole lot of stuff that happened. And, you know, we do things sometimes that allows the enemy to come in and stir the shit and create a big old shit cocktail. And that's what happened. It ruined my mom and my relationship for many, many years until her and I both, separately on our own time, gained a relationship with God, but without religion. So we dropped all the religious stuff and just came to God, like who He is. And I was in California. I'm now back on the East Coast right now temporarily, but He was able to mold our hearts in a way during that time to bring us back together.
Yeah, no, and that's the power of God. That's the power of healing. It's the power of forgiveness. And not only just, you know, not necessarily forgiving people, but forgiving just yourself, right? Cultivating the energy of forgiveness so that it's not spewing all over people. You know, you also said something that I find, you know, very interesting and very true. You know, when doing childhood trauma work, you know, that childhood trauma work, a lot of times what I find interesting and the people that I've talked to is that I'm out of that with a deeper understanding of our childhood, but more importantly, you know, the narrative of what we've been telling ourselves before doing the work isn't always 100% accurate, right? Like a lot of my problem in life is I would blame all of my relationship. Like if I had a problem with the relationship with a woman, it was immediately, oh, it was my mom. She divorced my dad. She abandoned me. But when I got older, I actually did the work. I realized, well, it's not that I was ever abandoned. I just like you, you know, I had a great childhood in terms of I had a house, I had all the clothes, I had toys, dirt bikes, four wheelers, snow machines. You know, we went and did really cool things. I was emotionally neglected. So I had told myself, you know, the wrong story for so long that it allowed me. Or it forced me to make other decisions because I thought this was the problem. And this is why a childhood trauma work is so important. You have to get to the core, because sometimes you'll be trying to heal shit that isn't real, but you just told yourself that that's the problem without doing the work.
Yeah, and I agree. We have to get to that point. There's something that happens in our brains. I haven't studied it yet. Yes, I'm still in college trying to get my psych degree, but I haven't gotten to this study yet. When we are going through something traumatic, we can, I don't know if it's like a blackout moment or what happens, but we can create a different story during that time. Now, I'm not saying that what was happening wasn't traumatic. Yes, it was, but we might make it worse than what it is, or we might add certain things in there that didn't really happen. And that's kind of really hard to go back and like just like pick apart and try to figure all of that out. It can get really confusing. I basically just got to a point where I was like, okay, these were like the main like traumatizing things that happened to me. Like, how can I forgive these? How can I let these go? And it was pretty easy for me to let them go because my mom has like apologized for everything. I mean, my mom too grew up in a very traumatic childhood. I mean, it was very abusive, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. And she didn't know any better, you know? And back then, they did not have education like we have now. So, you know, as much as you don't want it, it's your responsibility to go back and fix those things for your parents because they didn't have it.
I love that you know? Said that, actually. I was doing a one-on-one with a client, and one of the things that I was speaking about was just that. It's like, you know, when you're doing the childhood trauma work, one of the most important things to understand is that, you know, the majority of parents did the best they can with limited knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like Jesus, when he was crucified with the two thieves, he looks up at God and he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our parents, yeah. A lot of parents, I'm not saying there aren't some psychotic motherfuckers out there, but I will say the majority of parents were just doing the best they could based off of how they were raised and very limited knowledge and understanding of how that would affect us downstream, right?
Yeah.
And this is life, right? Because then if you're a parent like myself, I have two boys, I was hyper-focused on correcting a few things that, you know, I felt were traumatic to me. So I made sure to shelter my kids in a way. Now, will that have a long-term effect on them somewhere downstream? I don't know. It could or it could not. But the whole thing is like, we got to forgive a little bit here because a lot of times that parents didn't mean to hurt us. They just, you know, they didn't know any better either.
Yeah. You know, especially if you're someone like me whose parent, I can't say parents because my father has passed. But my dad, holy shit, did he give me a fuckload of trauma with his Pentecostal bullshit. But oh my God, the exorcisms and the demons and the cults and the sacrifices. Oh my God, the stories he used to tell me. No wonder why I was addicted to horror movies as a kid.
That's season two stuff right there.
Dude, you don't even know.
So Jackie.
Oh my God.
The healing journey is so rough. I mean, you talked a lot of really solid, you know, steps that you've taken in order to, you know, start this healing journey, to really take authority in it. But as we know, like, you know, even when you have a very clear direction, you're doing the work, a lot of times we get triggered. What are some of your triggers and how did you overcome those?
Oof, that's a good question. So triggers can be anything. It can be me doing a certain movement and that was something like having like a deja vu moment of that, like I had with my ex, or something like that. And I feel like everybody has like a lot of triggers, that just keep putting their brain back in the past of when they were with their abuser or with their ex. We created all these memories with them, either good or bad. And it's a different road if you are dealing with depression and anxiety or like ADHD or OCD, because a lot of these mental disorders will keep these triggers on a loop and you really have to learn how to battle them. And what worked for me was telling myself, Jackie, come to right now. Okay, where are you at? Okay, I'm in a safe place now. I'm in a good spot. These are just memories. They're just memories. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to do something that you enjoy doing. So whatever it is, if it's just go get a soda, go take a walk, turn on one of my favorite comedians, something that's going to make me laugh, I'm going to replace that negative thought with something positive for that time being. And that's how I dealt with it. I don't know how everybody else deals with it, but I can tell you that it was a mental fucking battle for me until I got a hold of that. And I thought I was going crazy. And I told God, I was like, I cannot keep this up. I cannot. I can't even pick out a freaking shirt. I can't even go to the fridge without thinking about this person. Like, what is happening? Like, I'm away from this person. I am free. I should be happy. What is going on? And it's just so crazy how our brains are wired like that. And to try to rewire them, it's a process. But if you focus on it, you'll get there. You will.
Well, I think that's the key to it. It's just like mental gymnastics, right? It's all part of the grieving process, which is these five primary stages. And it's none of it's linear, right? So it's, you're just all over the place. You brought some really, 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 you know, solid points. And it hurts. It's frustrating. It's painful. It just really destroys your spirit because you lose. You know, I was thinking about this just yesterday. And although I'm okay in life, I'm happy. I'm doing the things that I love to do. But, you know, when I go through my process in my healing journey, I journal a lot and I'll do a lot of meditation. There's a part of me that's gone. There's a real deep part of me that is no longer there. It's never coming back. And this is something that I really have to be okay with. You feel that as well? Like, there's a part of me that's gone. It's never coming back. And I have to be okay. I have to give love to that and be okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary. You know, just like, it is scary, and that's really deep, Brandy. But in a sense, it's like how the narcissist wasn't real. You know, there was certain parts of me that were activated that came out when I was with this narcissist. Some were good, some were bad, but were they my authentic self? No, they weren't. They were just
Not only were they not your authentic self, but weren't your primary drivers, your primary character drivers, right? And this is the thing that people have to understand about narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic abuse is not just, you know, inclusive to just narcissistic personality disorder. We're really talking about what are people's characteristic drivers? What are they pessimistic? And you can take it down to good, evil, positive, negative, optimistic, pessimistic. What is their primary characteristic drivers?
Explain to me a little bit about the part of you that you feel like died and is gone.
No, I mean, it's the part of me that I don't really, it has to do with optimism. It has to do with that spark, that shine. They call it, like, you know, having a little pep in your step. Like, my spirit's been broken. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, to me, what the spirit is the spirit is the connection. It's not Casper the Ghost. I don't believe that we have this Casper the Ghost thing. I believe that our spirit is our consciousness. I think, therefore, I am. That is who you are. And that link to your mental health and your emotional health is who you are. This is the Trinity. Okay. God, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus. It's the Trinity.
Yeah.
Your conscious mind, your mental state, and your emotional connection. Now, when that's robbed from you, you lose basically a little bit of innocence. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an innocent motherfucker, but I'm going to say that a part of my innocence, part of that optimism, that authentic look at life and have that twinkle in your eye, it's not there anymore. I can't find it yet.
You know, I know what you're talking about, and it's something that's unseen. It's definitely a feeling, and it is that spark, that feeling that actually, from studies that I've read, is actually your body telling you that there's danger and to run. But like drugs, if we take drugs, they make us feel good, but they're bad for us, right? We a lot of times misconfuse those, we confuse those emotions with it being good or it being mysterious. We don't know what that is, and but it's like exciting. But then if you go back and you think about it, Like that spark you get, that rush you get when you meet a narcissist and you feel like your whole life is about to change. You feel like, oh my God, I can do anything. I'm now have the motivation to become a billionaire. Like, you know, that spark that's like, I can just do anything in the world with my life now. It's not sustainable.
You're absolutely right, 100%. And I think that's a lot of the reason why people get stuck in toxic relationships is we confuse our central nervous system warning us with butterflies. But what I'm speaking about is like separate any kind of a relationship. It's just my life. The spark of I wake up and I'm just like, if life, the twinkle in my eye, the innocence of me, right? Outside of anything, you know, life is okay. It's now a constant, you know, subconscious, you know, like you said, it's okay. You're down today. Okay, no, Randy, I'm not going to be down today. You're okay. Life is good. You have peace. Now, come on, let's do the steps. Step one, I don't have the same internal spark of just waking up and being like, yes, Randy's alive. It's like, I got to work at this every day. You know what I'm saying? That innocence. It's like, I know evil's out there. I'll say, Jackie, I love you while destroying your life. And that's robbed me of some of my soul. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm an empath. I believe in God. And that robbed me a little bit.
I would say, and I now understand what you're saying completely. I would say it's, you know, it's like being a child until something traumatic happens, until evil arises, until you face Satan face to face. And I say that, and I will keep saying and referring to narcissists like Satan, because they literally destroy you on all aspects, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Every bit of you is broken down by a narcissist, and you didn't see it coming. And once you've been exposed to something that evil, you can become strong after that. You know, you can grow yourself up and gain strength. But you're not going to get that like naivety back of the not knowing, because now you know.
Now you know.
And it does suck.
What is one of the biggest things that you like? What is like the biggest experience or like, you know, what is the biggest epiphany or aha that you've had for your whole life? This can be narcissistic. It could be surrounding yourself with better people, keeping boundaries. What would you say like is the top two biggest things that you've come to realize at your age, right now, in the healing journey, that you'd say, shit, these two things are extremely important to understand?
Number one, I've realized that I'm never going to be abandoned, because I'm never going to fucking abandon myself. Ever. I have really learned how powerful I am. And I really think that's the reason why I've attracted a lot of the men into my life that I have, because they've seen it. I just haven't seen it, and it sucks that it took something so bad to make me realize this about myself, but I'm going to be grateful for it at the end of the day. And number two, I'm always okay. I'm okay. Like, I am going to be fine. Like, my life can blow up like it just did recently, but I'm fine, and I'm actually in a better place than I've ever been in my whole life. And I have to stop having this control over everything and realize that God's way is not my way.
Absolutely.
You know, amen. And he has a purpose for me that I don't see. And if I keep holding on so tightly to things that I feel are so important to me, if I can just let them go, my life becomes so much more beautiful than I ever thought it could be.
Yeah, no, and this is the most important, you know, thing that I think you've said on this entire, you know, episode, is it's really like, once you understand this one thing, which is giving, you know, faith, number one, faith in God is faith in the unknown. Okay, we don't simply know, but we have faith. So we have faith in the unknown and being able to, you know, release control to faith of the unknown is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
But what I've learned in 46 years is that it always ends up being the right, being at the right time with the right people. Jackie, what's next for you then?
You know, I'm going to go ahead because college is just taking so long. I can only go part-time because I also work. I'm going to go ahead and get a couple of coaching certificates so I can go ahead and join your gang, Randy, and start helping coaching. Next season two, I am highlighting a lot about human trafficking and child abuse across all boards. And so that's something that has really touched my heart ever since I first heard of human trafficking, which was probably back in like 2000s. I think 2017, my mother took me to watch this documentary called The Abolitionist. And it was in theater. I don't know if it was select theaters or what around the world, but it was released, and this documentary changed the way that I viewed the world forever. And whenever I moved to California the next year, and I was out in California for close to 9 years, during that time, I got involved with helping homelessness a lot. I literally, guys, I cannot stress it enough. If you are in a bad situation in life and you don't know how you're going to get out of it, get out and help someone in need. I cannot tell you how much it will change your life. I was coming home every day to a boyfriend that was very controlling, like wanted to know how like I smelt, like someone that would just show up at my work to see if I was just like talking to dudes or what. I don't even know, just pure insanity. I did not feel comfortable where I was living, and I didn't want to be in there. So at the time, I was volunteering at this church that served homeless people meals twice a day. At the time, I was vegan, and I'd been serving there long enough that all of their donations of food comes from Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. So it's like all this like really wholesome, like organic food, right? Well, they were like, go get whatever you want out of the freezer and the fridge. And I was like, well, I don't like, I'm vegan. I don't like, most of it was meat, you know, like I don't even eat it. And then I was like, there's literally, about that time there was behind my apartment, there was a field and people had started making tents in the field. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take food home. So after I serve at the church, I'm going to go home and serve in my backyard. So I went home, and what started me serving, you know, five people ended up around 30 before they ended up kicking them all out. But I handmade all this food. I put them in styrofoam to-go boxes. I would put personal little notes on top of each box for every person. And I got to know these people individually. Like, I would come home. I didn't have a car at the time, so I was always Ubering everywhere. I would get out of my Uber and I would hear from the field, yo, Jackie. I was like, what's up, man? They'd be like, you making that chicken tonight, girl? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, give me about an hour, I'll have it out. So yeah, so I started doing that, and then I became the head ambassador of a huge nonprofit organization called Shine His Light Ministries. It's out of Atlanta, Georgia, but I was the head ambassador out of California. So what I would do is I would get online and anything like clothes, toiletries or like whatever was needed. And I would make boxes and gifts, and I would go to LA and I would hand everything out. And during that time, I had went to a human trafficking organization that has housing for those that are saved from human trafficking, because what a lot of people don't realize is not only is human trafficking a major issue in America, but we don't have the resources to help them once they're saved. So it's like, what are we even doing at this point? There's no housing for them. So this is one of the small housing places I went. I went through the program. You had to be committed. That was the number one thing that they really highlighted, was you have to be committed to these girls and children here because they're so used to people leaving them. We don't want somebody else leaving them. Well, where the facility was at, I was probably about 3 hours out and I didn't have a car at the time, so I couldn't commit. And it just broke my heart. But season two, I reached out to that organization and I was just like, hey, you know, my name's Jackie Hall. I have this small podcast. I really want to highlight human trafficking and child abuse in my season two. And I was like, I was just wondering if I could have someone from staff come on and educate my listeners about human trafficking. This is how good God is. Someone from the staff did not reach out to me. The founder of the company reached out to me. Her name is Kate. She is a survivor of human trafficking herself. She has written several books. I just finished her book called Exposed, and she will be coming on season two. So there's a lot to, you know, digest in what I just said. But yeah, get involved where you can, guys. Like, this is a major, 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 major issue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that you're doing that. And I think, you know, we're at a time of consciousness and God and Satan and this battle, this spiritual warfare, where, you know, the darkness is being brought to light. So it's people like you that are really taking that charge. So Jackie, you know, last question for you. Who are you now versus who you were before? How have you changed? Have you grown?
There's a lot to unpack there, so I'll make it as short as possible. I'm still learning exactly who I am. I know at the core of me who I am. I know that I am a good person. I know that I have a heart of gold. Anyone that's ever been around me, that's something that they have always said, like, you have a heart of gold. As far as learning, I have to learn myself when it comes to relationships now, because I'm realizing that all of the relationships that I've been in throughout my life, I stayed in them and I didn't want to. I just did because I didn't want to be alone. So now I'm fine with being alone. Now it's like doing the little fine tuning of, what do I want out of a partnership? What does that look like for me? You know, and I will never date somebody that is against going to therapy, someone that is unhealed, someone that can't acknowledge their own bullshit. I'm okay with people making mistakes, but if you can't acknowledge it and say, hey, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, then sorry, see you later, bye. As far as like dating wise, because I just don't have time for it. I thought that maybe I would get on a, this was funny. I thought maybe I would get on a dating app and just be like, I don't know, go on some dates or something, just, you know, get out of the house. And I quickly realized that my level of tolerance for any type of bullshit is so high now that everyone just, they're gone, because I was like, well, you're done. You're done. You're done. You're done. You get one chance. Sorry. You know?
I understand that all too well.
And I mean, before I would tolerate a lot of stuff if I just got along with that person, especially if that person had like made me laugh or had like the same sense of humor as me, because that's such a huge part of who I am, is laughing and being goofy and just like, you know, not caring about what anyone thinks and just, you know, having those belly laughs. Guys, laughing is, it's so good for you. It's medicine to the core. And there's been times in my life, the first time I remember when I moved to California, I was like, my sense of humor is going away. I could feel it like a plug being drained out of me. I was in LA. Obviously, I wasn't in the South anymore. I had to be very careful about what I said. Everything had to be politically correct. And by the way, fuck that shit. I'm not about politically correctness, all that. Like, just fuck it. I'm sorry, but if I have to feel like I'm walking on eggshells around you because you are so sensitive that you get hurt over every fucking little thing, then you do not have to be a part of my life and I don't want you there. Like, toughen up, buttercup. I can't do it. I respect everybody's, like, views, like, left, right, sideways, up, down. I don't give a shit. Just respect each other and, you know, I don't know, grow some balls or something. I don't know.
Be authentic and be a decent fucking human. Jackie, you know what? You know that the reason I like the name that you've chosen, Healing Fucking Sucks Podcast, is, and I think I said this before, but I just got to say it again, that the shittiest part about healing is the fact that we are responsible to heal ourselves from trauma that we didn't cause. And that shit sucks. Jackie, you are doing absolute God's work out here. We all love you in the community. We all look forward to season two. When can we expect episode one, season two? When can we expect this to happen?
That's going to drop Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So I'm probably going to drop this episode that we're recording. I might even drop it tonight because I am lagging. I am behind. And I promise
Not Granny White was sleeping. He can't get his shit together. Scheduling conflicts. Well,
No. It's not your fault. My computer messed up our whole first episode. So it was a lot of factors that happened, but it's all good.
It was our second episode because this is technically our third. So that would have been our second because our first one was amazing. You were my first podcast ever.
Oh, I was. Have you been on more podcasts since?
Yeah, I've been on a few. But this is always home to me. This is always my favorite, Jackie. You know that.
Well, you're always welcome here. And I'm going to have you on season two also. I am going to tone down the narcissism talk on season two, which you guys are going to be like, what the crop, Jackie? Because my first episode is about narcissism. Her name is Beanie. She's been through one of the most god-awful narcissistic abuse stories that I've heard of, just because of the physical and sexual abuse along with the narcissism abuse that came along with it. But Beanie is going to be my first of season two release on Wednesday, and then after that I have some therapist coming on where we talk about the positive and healthier side of healing and how to try to stay out of that negative talk that we do during our healing journey, because it really is a negative time. It's hard digesting and going through all of the stuff.
Yeah, I like that for you. I think that's really good. Bring me back whenever we can talk about whatever mindset, recovery, good stuff. We can talk about ice cream, Jackie. It's always amazing.
I love what you're doing. Oh, thanks, Randy. I definitely will bring you back. Let's talk. I'll send you a message and let's talk about what we could bring on to talk about as far as, I have more mental health stuff coming on for season two as well. We're going to take a deep dive on the gut and brain connection with Dr. Shiloh. My listeners love Dr. Shiloh. It's crazy. Her episodes that I do with her get like triple the downloads that everyone else's does. I have no idea, but like, she is amazing and she's really nice to listen to. So I do have the mental health as education aspect coming on as well. So
good.
Randy, good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Keep it up.
All right. We'll be in touch, Randy. Everybody, I will see you on season two.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Randy.